Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, yes, and for opportunity to speak from your word. Make me be your vessel to bring your word as you're putting on my heart. And let all our hearts be open to apply for the message. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The title for the sermon today will be A Chosen People. I will read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 till verses 11. So the Bible is saying this: as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by a man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like a living stone, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through the Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture: behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. They stumble because they disobeyed the word, as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness in his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as a sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. Amen. So the first part of the sermon, I will speak that God chose the weak one. God is a builder, and he is in a process of building his holy temple.
Yes.
And the work of this temple is not yet done. And this temple is built from the body of the believers of Christ. The cornerstone, the foundation of this temple, it's Jesus Christ. God is a builder, and we are the living stones in this temple. We remember the first given name to the Peter was a Simon. His name wasn't Peter.
Yeah.
So Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. The word Peter means a rock or a stone. Peter is not a rock or a stone, which it's a foundation of the church of the Jesus Christ. He is a rock which God used as a stone in this church.
Yeah.
So what the stone means in the Bible? The stone means something strong, something which is unshakable. And it's a great material for a building in Israel that time and even now. The stone is something which is durable also. As we know, Jesus has appointed Peter as the leader of the church is in Jerusalem. If we want to do a duties to someone or certain responsibilities, what kind of person we will choose? I remember the Peter before Christ to die, actually, when Christ was arrested. Peter three times denied that he knows Christ. So, if I can speak, Peter as a leader in that time, Peter is not a capable, which means he is coward, he is denying his master, He is lying that he don't knows Christ. So my question is, what makes Peter be a stone? Or what makes Peter be unshakable? What takes his fear out? What makes him to be a leader of the church in Jerusalem? In the First Corinthians, in the verses 27, 28 till 29, it's speaking that God choose the weak, so no one can boast. God did not choose a Peter because he was the strongest leader in Jerusalem. He did not choose him because he was the best scholar in that time. He was ordinary person, a simple fisherman. So what conclusion we can bring that God is using ordinary people, people like us, and God wants to use us to build His holy holy temple. Maybe we feel that we are weak. Maybe we feel that we are not capable for this work. But it's not about our strength. It's not about our abilities. It's about God's strength. And if God ask us something to do, He will lead us. He will give us a strength, He will give us a wisdom, He will support everything what we need for a building a stones in a, this temple. Because the work in this temple is not yet done. It's always adding a stone when someone accepts the Christ. So how Peter, I will asked the same question, how Peter became a strong leader. We will find the answer in the Luke 22, verses 31 till 32. It's a Jesus written prayer for a Peter. And at the end of this prayer, Jesus is saying to Peter, when you turn back to me, meaning strengthen your brothers. Turn back to God means to turn back from the old living style. Turn back from your sins and be alive for God. Turn back to the shepherd who gives the life for the sheep. So after his repentance, speaking for Peter, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, Peter became a new person. He became a bold in witnessing and brave church leader. Peter became a strong rock because he built his life on the foundation of the living stone, which is Christ. Going back to the first chapter of Peter, when Peter is talking about the hope, he is talking about the living hope. When he is talking about the Word of God, he is talking about the living Word of God. When Peter is talking about the Jesus as a stone, he is talking about the living stone. In the Old Testament, we can remember that many people, they worship idols, which was made from a stone. So the idols cannot hear, the idols cannot see, the idols cannot help, the idols cannot save. But God is a living stone. Jesus conquered the dead and resurrect on the third day. He is a living God, and He is a God who can hear, He is a God who can see, He is a God who takes care of our needs, He is a God who supplies us, He is a God who provides a sacrifice for our salvation. He is a living God, He is a living stone. And the question for us is, do we build our life on the foundation of this living stone, which is unchangeable, which is unshakable? Peter also called the believers in this text living stone. Why he used this description? It's because Christ is abiding in us. As also we are abiding in Him. We receive a part of His nature in us. And we became more, and we are becoming also, it's a process, more like a Christ. Not to imitate him, but that is a product of his nature in us. Yeah. That's the Holy Spirit, it's not us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the one who is making this transformation in us, as he made the transformation in the Peter life. The second topic which I want to talk, it's chosen for his priesthood in this temple, which is still in a building. As a builder and a foundation of the temple, God has chosen us to be his holy priesthood, which will bring a spiritual sacrifice. Our sacrifice doesn't mean that it will add a merit to the sacrifice and the work of the Christ. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he says it's a finish. The God plan for the salvation, it's a totally finish with the resurrection of the Jesus Christ. He satisfied the God righteousness, and he paid for our sins. So what's the sacrifice, what we can offer? I will read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. The word of God is saying this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So our bodies should be a spiritual sacrifice. So what is the sacrifice? Sacrifice is not something which not hurt us. Sacrifice must hurt. Sacrifice is a painful because it requires from us to do something which we are very attached for. And something which we possessed, if we can say. So let's speak for the example of the money. So is it a sacrifice, I'll ask, if I have a million and I give 1,000 to help someone or in a charity? So it's, I cannot say that's the sacrifice. It doesn't hurt. There is a story written in Mark chapter 12. And the story is for the poor widow. Many rich people give a big amounts in the temple that time in the treasury. But the widow, she put a word equal to a few cents in a money in this day. Then Jesus said to the apostles that all give from their wealth, but she give out from her poverty. She put everything what she has for a living on. So what the sacrifice is? It's this. What else we can offer as a spiritual sacrifice? The sacrifice is to keep our mouth closed when we want to speak in anger. That's a really sacrifice. That's a really sacrifice. And something which is speaking to myself. Sacrifice, it's to don't complain when we are in a bad circumstances. In Isaiah 53, speaking about Jesus and his suffering, in the verses 7, it's saying this: he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
That's right.
What the suffering Jesus passed, and he did not open his mouth. Yeah. Is it a sacrifice? Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent. Jesus did not open his mouth. Oh, how hard is this, Lord? Oh, how difficult it is. He did not open his mouth because he loves us, because he needs to fulfill the God's plan for salvation and to be a sacrifice for our sin. How much more we need to be a living sacrifice? Sacrifice, it's also to build others' stones in the temple up. Or sacrifice is to sacrifice yourself for the growth of the other brother and sisters. In the Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 24, Apostle Paul is speaking that he is torn between two desires. He has a desire to be with God, with his Savior, and from other side, he is pressed with a desire to stay and to help the Philippians. So he says, I am paraphrasing, he is saying, but for you, for your growing faith, I need to stay. So that's his sacrifice and his purpose of living here. I remember my spiritual teacher was awaking 5 in the morning or sometimes earlier to come on my door on a 6 in the morning to have a discipleship with me. Mm-hmm. So he will come and he will speak the word of God, he will build my faith. So that's a great sacrifice, yeah. You know, and I am so much grateful to God for his sacrifice. So what I want to say is sometimes we need to sacrifice ourselves, our time, you know, to build ourselves. I wasn't be able that time to have another time a discipleship because my work is starting from 8 and I don't know when I will return at home. So it might be midnight. So he find a time, he make a time to invest and build me. So this is also a huge spiritual sacrifice. I'll speak a little bit about the merciful Samaritan. And one subtitle which I put here is interrupted planning. As you know, we Macedonians are very good in planning. So first we build the streets, we build our roads, then we dig a roads to put the cables for electricity, we dig a roads to put the pipes for the water or whatever. So it's just a simple example how good we are. But anyway, we all have a daily plans. If we don't plan in a year, we have a daily plans and we have a things what we need to do during the day. We have a task which we need to do during the day. Keep in mind this. So in the road from Jerusalem to the Jericho, a man was being attacked from the robbers. They beat him, stripped his clothes, and they left him half dead, bleeding on the road. So he was helpless. The priest was walking on that road, but he just passed by. Maybe he was busy going to the temple, or he already planned what things he needs to do. Then the next was the Levite. He do the same, and in his busyness, he did not allow to stop and help this person who was bleeding. Then it came the Samaritan, which is a low-class person for the Israelites, something which is bottom for them. So he put the bandage on his wounds. He helped to recover from the pain. He offered his donkey as a transport for this bleeding man. He bring him in the inn, and not just bring him, he even paid if he needs to stay more for his recovery. So what I want to say, are we ready to serve a God when our plans are interrupted. When something came in the middle of our business, are we ready to stop here and to say, okay, Lord, I am available, use me. So, am I ready to stop in my business to cure other people's wounds? God many times will ask us to serve Him in the middle of our business. But we should be available. We shouldn't be a blind and a straight in our plans. The plan will help us to be a more organized. But God is above our plans. His pathways are above our pathways. Yes, we pray. Yes, we plan. But also, God is intervening in a certain situation. And it requires sacrifice from us. It hurts. We need to give up something that we are planning. We need to give up some task or to not finish that task, to put other things be a priority in our life. In a Hebrew 13:15, it's speaking for the sacrifice of praising God. So how praising God could be a sacrifice? Many times we pass through the struggle and a certain situation which we are very sad, and it's a hard for our emotions that time to praise God and to worship. But the sacrifice is for us to don't base the worship and the praises to not be based on our emotions, to be based on who God is. He is a worthy of our praise. Right. He is a worthy of our worship. Now I will speak for our identity in Christ. Jesus has chosen 12 apostles from a disciples. And He even chose a Judah who will be His betrayer. That doesn't surprise Jesus, because the betraying of Judah, it fulfilled the big picture and the big plan of God. God chose the church to be His holy temple. In verse 9 of the 1 Peter, chapter 2, pardon, Peter called us chosen race, holy priesthood, people for His own possession. So we are not chosen because we are better than anyone else. We are not chosen because our good deeds on our merit or how good person we are. We are chosen by His grace. In the Romans 5, verses 7 till 8, it's saying this. For a good person, someone might die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So, can we see how precious it's a sinner's soul in the eyes of God?
Yeah.
That much that He even sacrificed His Son for us, so we can become His belonging. Steve Lawson is saying this: we are saved from God, by God, and for God. We are saved from His wrath, by His grace, and for His glory. The salvation from the eternal punishment or hell, this salvation is a free. But it's a free because God paid the highest price which can ever be paid. Yeah. If sometimes we are doubting how much God loves us, let us think of this. The Most High took a human body to be one of us. He left a heaven to live on earth. From a king He became a servant to serve for a paying for our debts. The one who angels bow down came to wash a people's feet. The one who is the most holy allowed Himself to be judged by a sinful hand of a man. At the end He died and He sealed His love for us with His own blood. They buried Him, but the grave wasn't be able to hold him. He resurrected on the third day according to the scripture. So let us not reject the hand which was pierced for our sins. I hope that this will help us to understand his love for us and how much God loves us. This is how God adopted us and make us be a part of his family. We belong to God and he is our Father. We are not alone. As Jesus changed the Simon's name to Peter, he also changed his life too. He changed his character, he changed his attitudes, and he changed his purpose. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We have a new identity in Christ. We are a children of God, his precious possession, his chosen people, his holy nation. We don't belong to us, we don't belong to ourselves. Someone paid for us to belong to him. Now, I want to see the special relationship with the God and his chosen people of Israel. We know that the Israelites was the slaves in Egypt. They was being tortured by the Pharaoh cruelty. And God wanted to release them from this slavery. God wants them to be free. So with a mighty hand, he pressed the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh released them. God was leading them through the desert. In the heat of the sun, he was being a cloud for his own people, to make a shade to protect his Israelites. During the night, he was being light for his people, to lead them in the darkness. When there was no way out, he made a way. He opened the sea to deliver his people, and he closed the sea to defeat the Pharaoh army. When they was hungry, he was being a bread for them. I mean for the manna, what God feed his chosen people. When they was thirsty, he became a water for them. I'm speaking when Moses struck the rock. So knowing this, isn't a God everything what we need? Everything what our soul long for? Everything what I'm hungry? Everything what I'm thirsty? Jesus is a bread of life and the living water. He is our deliverer. He is our sacrifice for our salvation. And he is everything what we need. As we know, this letter is a primary writing to the God-chosen people who live in the exile. It's a writing in the first chapter, the first verses, and in verses 11, 12, Peter is speaking for a chosen people who live in exile. No matter where we are or from where are we coming from, we are only guests in this world. We are living in a world which is not our home. We can't expect the world which is crucified, our Savior, to have a love for his followers. We can't expect the people who reject the cornerstone to love us as a living stone, built on the foundation of that stone. This world is not our friend. The meaning of holy in the Old Testament also means to separate, and to separate from this world, but to be alive for God and for his possession. And the sanctification is a great separator of Christians from this world. That's how God is separating us. In the verse 11, speaking for Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we are called to abstain from a passions of the flesh. These passions are coming from our sinful nature. There is nothing more deadly in this world as sin it is. The wage of the sin is death. The Satan is always presenting a sin as our necessarily satisfaction. But it's a totally opposite. The sin will drain us and will never truly satisfy our needs.
Right.
As a conclusion for this, let us not be entertained by the sins that Christ died for us.
Mm.
So if I can summarize the sermon, it's God is building a temple, and the temple is still in process, and He wants to use us. Maybe we feel uncomfortable, maybe we feel weak, but that is also a good position, because when we are weak, God is strong, and we should depend on His strength. We are His chosen people, we are His holy priesthood, which will need to bring a holy sacrifice. So let's think about the sacrifice of the Jesus Christ and how much He paid for us, for our salvation. And that should supposed to motivate us to be also a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
We remember that the Peter denied a Christ three times. But at the end of his life, from the tradition, we know that he, being sacrificed, turned upside down on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So he sealed his ministry with his own blood. So maybe we don't face the persecution these days, but many churches, many Christians around the world, they face. We might face one day. So we should be also ready to sacrifice ourselves. And as His chosen people, we need to live a holy life and being separating from this world and being alive for that. So that's how much I being able to prepare for this sermon. May God bless His word and makes us have a fruitful life for His glory.
Amen.
Yeah.